This morning, folks, as we continue in our basic study, and the basic study that I want us to look at for ourselves for this whole year, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Now, this morning I'm going to focus on it means that you and I must live a life that will compel others. Now, many years ago when I was here, I worked up an acrostic for COMPEL, Christ-ordained ministry, promising eternal life. Christ-ordained ministry, promising eternal life. Now, there's ways that we have found over the years that we have been directed through Sunday school classes and all, and this, you know, let's go out and let's do this. Let's fill a pew day. Let's have this kind of Sunday. Well, that is great, folks, when we invite someone, but let's fill the pews with individuals who did not know Christ as Lord and Savior until your life was so compelling they asked you to share. Share why they were so compelling about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I should never forget the message that Christ gave us when he went to that cross. You see, Jesus' whole life was compelling. And the only thing that you and I could truly, truly shout about on Easter Sunday morning is when the news went out, our Savior is alive. That's the focus of every Christian. Each one of us must understand that the compelling nature that the Lord is speaking of, that is inside of us, is the compelling nature of Christ. It's not how much we know. It's not how vivacious we are. It's not how much knowledge we may have of Scripture. It's about a personality. And that personality is not mine, neither is it yours. It's the personality of Jesus Christ. The Lord says, I want you to be compelling. Well, how can I be compelling, Lord? Read the Word. You see, every word that Jesus says, every word in the Scripture, blessed by God, is good for us to learn. See, the compelling parts in the book is called the Bible. And we are to read every day. I spoke to my class this morning, gave them a little challenge. I want you all to do this. I don't like saying try something. I want you to do this. I had a professor who would tell me, I had several of them that tried to teach me. Some would tell me, when I said, I'll try, and I realized after the first time, don't ever say that again, and I was foolish enough to do it. And the professor said, Brother Vance, to try is to fail. You do. That sounded like Obi-Wan Kenobi type of stuff, you know, in Star Wars. You do it. To try is to fail. If you're going to try something, I'm going to try to be a Christian. Folks, without the Holy Spirit, you don't know how to try to be a Christian. What we do is according to the leadership of the Christ who indwells us. When we said yes to Jesus, we became an individual in Christ and Christ in us. Therefore, our whole focus of existence must focus on who Jesus is, not who we are. God says, I want you to be compelling. Well, to compel is to be irresistible. Compelling. To be so compelling that you're irresistible. I just want you to remember in those young days when you and your wife were just dating and each tried to be irresistible to the other. Years ago, I was told don't ever allow pictures to be taken while you're baptizing. I never knew why then. I still don't, because I do. And you know, over the years I thought, you know, if I had a picture of that particular individual on their baptismal day, that I could just go and show them that what has happened. Was not this important to you? Was not living for Christ important to you? You remember this? And then they say, why? Why have I lost my irresistible attitude? Only Christ is irresistible. You know, life changes us. Life does not change Jesus. Us. The Jesus I accepted at around 8 years old is still the same Jesus that I serve today. He is changing. And his irresistible nature of love is so powerful, I'm sure that the heavenly host is wondering why that you and I, professing Christians, are not compelling to a lost and dying world. We are to win people to Jesus, not to a denomination. We are to win Jesus Christ. And we are to share Christ. When you and I preach or walk Jesus' pathway, somebody's watching. I would always tell the teenagers, be careful. The middle school is watching. And for our teenagers, the middle school looks at them as the older people. Somebody's always watching. Am I always going to minister for Christ? Yes. I'll either be a good one or a poor one. My actions will always be seen. And if in those actions that I would think that I have, by my actions, pushed somebody away from Christ. You know what our trouble is? We don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about failure. But let me tell you, you cannot accept the winning attitude of Christ until we have recognized failure within ourselves. We can't do it. The thing is, we never could. It's always been about who Jesus is. You can't make it right. Why? Because he already has. And he doesn't need a redo. He focuses on us as individuals. Why? Because he loves us. How many people have you ever heard that die for your security? Now, we have law enforcement. We have our armed services. But Jesus died for all of us. And that those defenders of freedom could live protecting your right and my right to serve the Lord. Does it not bother us, folks, when we witness throughout the world the slaughter of Christians? And how they are slaughtered because they are Christians? Has anyone heard our own denomination speak up and said, this is what we're going to do? Is everyone so afraid of evil that they refuse to look at that evil and call it for what it is? And we watch Christians beheaded. We watch Christians that are nailed to a cross and mocked, and we say nothing. You and I can stand for the Lord individually, but it's the church that must be united. All denominations of the Christian faith united together. The only one I've heard is the Pope. For all of us who say, yes, but we're evangelical, just don't put us in that spot. I have a compelling Lord. Therefore, you and I must have a compelling spirit. But we must compel one another in a way of prayer. And when we find the situation where we can act out our prayer, then act on it. Here, listen to Luke 14:23. Then the master, remember the Lord said, bring them in, bring in the Jewish nation and tell them, here's what salvation is all about. And none of them would come. And in Luke 14:23, then the master said to the servant, you go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Folks, we can have full houses in the churches, but every soul lost. Christ is speaking about the full house of the universal church. Whosoever believes, whosoever will, should be compelling in our own life that what we do reflects who Jesus is. And you know what makes you feel good? When you realize you can't do it. Well, why would that make me feel good? Because Christ has just taught us a lesson. We never could do it. It can only be done through Him. We're always to point to Jesus, a personal relationship with Him, and get out of all of the foolishness that goes on into the politics. We are to stand for Christ. And we are to take the basket off our head and let His light shine wherever we are. How then? 1 Peter 3:15. How am I going to be compelling? But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Here's the way it's done. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. You cannot take the Bible and tell someone that I'm going to break all 10 commandments to make a Christian out of you if I need to. And you hit them upside the head with the Bible. That is not a winning approach. I suggest you don't attempt it. And it's not of Christ. Christ is on the inside working on us. He allows you and me as His servants. Look, folks, we already know Jesus. Therefore, let's not get into the foolish arguments or drinking milk. Let's get to the meat of the scripture and be about our Father's business. Well, I don't understand what my Father's business is. Talk to Him. He'll be more than happy to show you. Then, here's the question. After He shows us, will we do it? Or will we do it as long as nobody's criticizing? Folks, I would never be able to preach one sermon if I worried about criticism of a sermon. Every preacher should get a lot of criticism. That keeps us going. And I want you to know that I get a whole lot. Matter of fact, you can give some of it to others right now. But listen. Jesus was criticized by who? The powers that be in religion. when you walk with Jesus, would you please allow Him to do the leading and not us attempt to lead Him? When I say I'm going to follow Jesus, does that mean that I'm watching Him and trying to step in His footprints? Do you see anywhere in Scripture where I'm to get ahead of Him? Yeah, what happens? We either get so far behind that we can't see Him, or we get so far in front of that we ignore Him, didn't see Him as we passed. The Lord says, I want you to be compelling, and I'll give you the strength to do it. What's the strength? Hope. He says, I want you to be compelling because you should be displaying and amplifying hope. Doesn't matter what kind of cancer we have. Doesn't matter what other diseases we have. We see the hope. How then am I ever going to share that hope? Here's the hope. You ready? Christ is the God-ordained power of His church. To be ordained is to confer holy orders upon. When you're ordained by Christ. Ordination, you know, I went before people and received this ordination paper that I have that I've hung up for 40-some years. But I realized ordination is of God. A call is by Christ, not my fellow man, but by God. If I'm going to serve the Lord, how can I serve man and their wishes and serve the Lord at the same time? The Lord says, stick to my word. Stick to my word, Larry, not your word and not your ideas. It's to be compelling. Because every time you and I try to remake God in our own image, we are worshiping an idol. Now, we can do all the praying we want. But if we're worshiping an idol, I love my son, my grandson, and my family. I love them. I cannot help them if I don't stand for Christ. I cannot encourage them about the truth. But come to church and talk about the truth on Sunday, then go home and forget it on Monday. Is there not a whole 6 days in there for many that are never, ever hearing the word of Christ? We are to be examples all 7 days. It was the Lord that says your special days mean nothing to me, folks. Jesus said that. All your gathering together on the special days and the special presentations. Because He said every day is mine now. It's not just Sunday. People say, well, you know, I can't believe they're out there working on Sunday. Well, you can believe this. Several years ago, your pastor sent workers in our church out to help people mow their yard. Well, didn't that make you feel bad? No, it made me feel great. Because every day belongs to my Lord. And every day is a day of worship, is it not? Why do we like coming on Wednesday night, some of us? It's the middle of the week. And folks, after you have went through 3 days of being in the world, it's a blessing to hear Christ's word in the middle of the week, knowing you only got 2 days left. But that's the world. Acts 17:31. Here's the hope. Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man who He has ordained. He has given assurance to this to all by raising him from the dead. It's all in the name of Jesus. You can play all the other games, word games you want. It's the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our hope. The Lord's not going to ask me if I was Southern Baptist, because I would have to say, I don't know. It's according to which meeting that I went to before. Now think of it. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian called by God to preach. Each one of us, when we focus on our salvation, we say our salvation is of the Lord, do we not? Every Christian says that. My salvation is of the Lord. I didn't work to get it. I'd have done the wrong kind of work thinking that I was doing it right. Jesus does it right the first time. I don't have to go back. Well, Larry, you need to get saved again. You need to read the Bible again. Get saved again. Would that not depict a Savior who didn't do it right the first time? If we as Christians believe that salvation is of the Lord, He has called us to His ministry. You know what ministry is? It's the act of serving. And fellowshipping is the act of serving. When I fellowship and minister to folk, that means I have to focus on their hurt when they're hurting, their joy when they're happy. I need to focus on what situation that particular Christian is or that non-believer is in, and not focus on me and who I am. To ministry is to serve, not to be served, to serve. Well, how do you know? Jesus came as a servant. He suffered and He died. But He left us with a promise. I'm coming back. But the next time the earth sees me, I will come as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you will know it's me, for you will hear the trumpet call of God. And I will be there. Until then, church, Jesus says, we are His body working together. For those who want to live in the world for the pleasure of the moment, tell me how that's working for you. Over the years as being chaplain of jails and prisons, how many times I would hear the same person, I'll never do that again, I'll never do that again. Every weekend they did it again. In Christ, the danger is never accepting Him the one and only time. He's quite capable of hanging on to us, even through our own ignorance. 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has made us competent. Any of you, can all of you remember 100% of what you learned in school and college and all? You know, I was talking to the class this morning. I'm having a hard time with the 1%. Because I remember going to clinical pastoral education in Central State Hospital and all my training for the criminal insane units in the state. Then when I get there, dealing with the people, there wasn't anything I learned I could use, except I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. So I knew then that I would go where Christ would go. And if Jesus wasn't going, I wasn't going. Many would laugh at that. But I can assure you, I've been protected from harm more times than I could count of hearing and feeling, don't go there. Don't go there. And when you don't listen, I was raised, he that doesn't listen has to feel. Is that what's going on us in life? He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Now, don't you all start saying the preacher said that the Old Testament doesn't count. Sure it does. Jesus is a fulfillment of it. But folks, do we not remember that the Christian church, that the Southern Baptist denomination and all, do we not remember that we are called a New Testament church? We're not called a New Testament church for no reason. You and I are to look in our relationship with Christ as that He has already come, and in His coming He fulfilled the old. He did not eliminate the old, He fulfilled it. And you and I are to carry out His ministry during our generation. As I get older, I notice that generations are flying, aren't they? I mean, you know, I just thought it was a month or so ago that I was waiting for the New Year's. You know, time doesn't wait on us. Jesus does. Listen to the promising eternal life focus. Jesus keeps every promise He has ever made. It's His promise that you and I trust, knowing that our salvation is in Him and not in our foolishness, but in Him and Him only. Eternal life. Isn't it great to understand that I live forever? Each of us who are Christians will live forever with Christ. And to live forever, that's simply stating to us it's outside of time. There's no such thing as time. In the realm of God, there's no such thing as time. That's only in the earthly realm here. You and I are eternal beings. So what if I, or to trick somebody into doing something, realizing I'm tricking them, and on the other side, I focus on that person that really did not have that special relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we not all remember that when we said Christ, yes to Christ, and the feeling that we received then? If it slipped out of your mind, go back to the place where you were saved, if you can. If not, take your mind back there and understand something. When you said yes to Christ, you were saved. Throughout the time zones of existence. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Here's the thing that where we need to be so compelling, though, folks. You and I who have accepted Christ, we will eternally live with Him. There is no such thing as the death of a human being. God created man to live eternally. And because of sin entering the heart of man, trying to disrupt heaven, God wouldn't allow it, to the point that He sent His only begotten Son to take charge, because men were doing a poor job. We still are. And the Lord said, here's my promise. Eternal life with Him. Those who do not accept Christ as Lord and Savior will live eternally. Yes. The Scripture says that they will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. They'll want to die, but they can't. A lot of things worse than death, folks, are leaving this body. It's not being able to. Trapped. in our own sin. Well, what's the hope? I don't have to be. For when the Lord touches your heart, listen and listen then. Because we will harden our hearts so often to the point that we can't hear the voice of our Savior simply because our own voice is louder. In the last scripture, John 10:28. Listen what Jesus says. And I give them eternal life. Do you really think when Jesus gives you something, anything can take that away? And they shall never perish. See, that's why you and I need to express love for one another now. Because we got to put up with each other throughout eternity. And we just need to work on it now. But as one guy said, well, God will give me, Pastor God will give me the mercy and the grace to put up with that woman in heaven, but I sure can't find it here on earth. Now, I can tell you God didn't tell him that. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone. I'm a someone, are you a someone? Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We will walk in the world after being saved so close that we will confront ourselves or question our own salvation. You been there? Yeah, you probably have. All of us have. We just don't want to admit it. Do you ever question what's going on in your life? Have you ever heard someone blame God? For you, this is what gets me. They blame God for taking a child home out of his misery. And let me tell you this. Abortionists will have to stand face to face with a God who created them. It's called a great white throne judgment. And the cry of all those unborn, they will hear. It's just a portion of what happens. What are we going to do? When we witness our own brothers and sisters, why? Because they speak a different language? Because maybe their skin is a different color? Folks, I had nothing to do with being white. My friends who are different color, whether it's the Indian, the Asian, or the black. We did not pick any of this, did we? Maybe God knows what color and all we need to be. But when we come together in Christ, are we not all one? Should we not all care? And for those who have questioned something else of our listening audience, let me say this to you. My love and my ministry focuses on how Christ will lead me and who he would lead me to. But yes, I have made this statement and I stand behind it. I do not under any circumstances go along with the teaching of Islam. But in the United States of America, the America that I love so well, I would be one of the first Christians to stand in line in front of a mosque to protect it and their freedom, realizing I don't believe like they believe. My job is not into destroy them. My job is in to be a minister for Jesus Christ. We're watching people that refuse to renounce Christ because of the threat of death. Why are so many Christians today renouncing Christ by not supporting his word? And we don't have to fear anything. Let God be the leader. Let Christ be your Savior. read His Word, study His Word, follow His truth. And every time we fall back in the ditch of life, just remember, the same hand that pulled you out throughout your whole human existence will always be there. And that love will never cease. Let's pray. Father, we ask for Your mercy, Lord. We are witnessing the hurt and the pain throughout Your world. And yet, Father, I pray that as You touch us, that You will remind us, Father, we are to be about Your business, not our own. Remind us, Father, that we do not have a right to rewrite Your Word. We're only given the honor to proclaim it. Ask You now, Father, touch each one. Give us strength, courage, and boldness to stand strong in Your truth. And Father, have mercy on us and allow us to have mercy on others. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.